Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Entrepreneur's Journey. I'm Andy Brine, and today I'm here with Pam Gregory. Before we get started, I just wanted to wish you all a happy new year. I hope you've had a good holiday season and you're looking forward to the year ahead. I'm really excited about this show because personally, I think it's one of those shows that's a great way to start the year because astrology can tell us so much, as we'll learn today, from Pam. I've had the pleasure to have an astrology reading from Pam, and Pam's provided me with some great insights over the last couple of months, really, for the year ahead. So I'm really delighted to have Pam on the show today. Pam's going to be sharing her journey and story as to how she's come into astrology. I won't go into that too much now because I'm sure she'll tell you more about that today. So before we get started into your story itself, tell me a bit more about yourself, Pam, who you are and what you do at the moment. So.
I live in the New Forest, which I adore, and I'm working very full time as an astrologer. I help clients in one-on-one consultations, although I'm incredibly heavily booked already for the next few months. I do video updates every 2 weeks to update people on what's coming up in the heavens. I also write a 3,000-word free newsletter each month. And the reason I do that is, firstly, in that newsletter, I'm anticipating astrologically the kinds of things that we might expect coming up in the next month. So when that next month comes, it's like the proof of the pudding, you know, what has actually manifested in the world. So it's evidence that astrology is manifesting all of the time in our world. And it also helps people learn the symbolism. So I do all of that. Prior to this, I mean, I've been involved with astrology for over 40 years now, but also for 35 years, I was in the corporate world. I was director of a big advertising agency in London. I did that for 19 years, and then I set up my own training company, training management people how to make more persuasive business presentations. And I was literally flying all over the world, you know, month in America, month in Thailand, month in Malaysia, and teaching senior management people. So I loved it, and I did that for 20 years. But eventually, you know, because it was only me, I felt I was going to go pop if I kept doing that because it was very energy demanding. And so I eventually decided that I was going to do the thing I'd always wanted to do full time, which is my astrology, and I'll keep on doing it into my dotage. Yeah, love it.
Fantastic. So we won't go too much into the depth of your story just yet, because I've obviously known you for a while. I've had a small insight into your story already, which was really nice. But tell us what first of all intrigued you into astrology, and what first of all sparked your interest from there to actually take it to another level.
After university, I emigrated to Canada. I write about this in the book, actually. I emigrated to Canada, to Toronto, and knew no one, had $100 in my pocket and started a new life, which was a great adventure. And I happened to join a yoga class, and one of the people there told me that another chap who attended the class was an astrologer. And so I chatted to him after one of the classes, and I said, "Look, I know absolutely nothing about this subject, but I'm kind of curious. Would you do my chart for me?" And all he knew was date, time, and place, and my name was Pam, and that was it. So I then went to see him the following week in his flat in Toronto. I remember it like it was yesterday. And I spent hours with him. He could tell me about the past, he could tell me about experiences, my relationships with my parents, he could give me dates, he could tell me about my work life, my romantic life, you know, everything was there. And he really emphasized, and I want to emphasize this too, that it is not at all the psychic skill. It's not clairvoyant. I don't hear voices. I don't see visions. I really wish I did, but I don't. It's a language. It's a language of symbolism and geometry. And I can feel that same kind of clunking in my head when I'm translating astrology or I'm translating French. I'm a translator I'm not a psychic. Now, I may be, you know, very intuitive when I'm doing my work, but I'm intuitive when I translate French. You know, yeah. Good at a language, you're intuitive when you're translating it. So I really want people to separate astrology from those terribly clever, gifted people who do see visions and hear voices, because that's not what astrology is. And I think it's very misunderstood in that way. Yeah. And anyway, I spent hours with this guy, and it just kind of blew me away that he could know so much from date, time, and place, and my name was Pam. So it was like, it was almost like the world had cracked open, and, you know, almost through a window of his tiny flat, I could just see visions of kind of other dimensions and a bigger world and a huge matrix of meaning, a language of meaning and a language of the universe that I could barely take in with my senses at that point. And it was at that moment I thought, I'm going to crack this. This is what I'm going to learn. I'm really going to get this. And since that point, I actually haven't stopped. And I'm still learning, by the way, 41 years on, I'm still learning every single day. You know, I will never know everything about astrology, ever.
So if I was to ask you then, once you had that first natal reading, you've got that in-depth knowledge of yourself, your chart, your future, your past. Was there a time when you had some doubts in your mind when you first of all heard that information, like, is this going to happen in my future? Is this going to formulate in my life?
No, I didn't have any doubts because it was so specific. And I mean, what was fascinating, you know, just as a snippet, one of the things he said, you know, I just arrived in Toronto to set up a new life forever. But he talked about a very specific time, 5 years from then, when he said I was going to have one of the greatest highs in my life. It was going to be a geographic change, one of the greatest highs in my life. That was going to be a major turning point, whole bunch of other stuff. And anyway, over the years that I was there in Toronto, spookily enough, for 5 years. And sadly, I lost the tape. You know, this is a long time ago, so it was on tape. I lost the tape of his recording, which was very frustrating. And it was only when I was packing up my flat to leave Toronto forever and come back to England via the Himalayas that I found the tape. And he gave me a very specific date in September 1979. I think he said September the 8th, 1979. And at that date, I was at 19,000 feet in the Himalayas.
Yeah.
So he was talking about one of the greatest highs of my life and a major geographic change. You know, boy, was he spot on, because I didn't ever intend to leave Toronto. So that was kind of very, very goosebumpy. And then I relocated back to London, and I just thought, I've got to get to grips with this. So there was never a doubt, really. All I kept getting was greater confirmation of how well this could work. And that's, you know, it's this may seem like a crazy thing to say, it's never been wrong in that, and this is very important, astrology does not predict the end of the story. It doesn't say, you know, you'll meet that tall, dark stranger at the fish counter in Waitrose next Tuesday. You know, it does not give the details of the story. What it's looking at is your unfoldment from the inside out. Yeah. So it's giving very specific information about the area of life. Is it money, wealth, you know, career, health? It gives a very specific timing, because the planets don't move out of their orbits. And it gives very specific information about the quality of the experience you're going to have. You know, this is going to be a period of incredible growth, and opportunities are going to come in, and they're going to come in from somewhere foreign and a benefactor and all that sort of stuff. But I won't have a clue about the details of the story, because as an astrologer, I believe it's the client's life to live.
Yeah. Okay.
Free will. So, you know, an analogy which I know I've used with you, Andy, and I often use, is your birth chart is like your unique sheet of music. That is set, that pattern is set. But we have free will, and we can choose to play it with, you know, a couple of spoons of the London Philharmonic. You know, we can have a little life, or we can have a big life. And my job is to help people have a bigger life.
Yeah, fantastic, fantastic. So in regards to your learning and your growth over the years, I know you said you've you've been in the astrology world for 40 years, which is absolutely phenomenal. Who would you say has been your mentors over that time that have been giving you that guidance to be where you are today with your knowledge?
Yeah, great question. Well, I studied, there's a very good faculty in London, which is probably the most respected astrological teaching organization in the world. It's called the Faculty of Astrological Studies. And when I studied there, it took me 8 years to get my first qualification. And also I was working kind of 14, 16 hour days in advertising. So it was all a bit crazy, but I was so determined to learn it. And at the time I was there, it was very old school and very traditional. You know, not only could we not use calculators, not only could we not use computers, we couldn't even use calculators. We had to do all the maths by hand using logarithmic tables.
Yeah.
No, so we'd really understand the planetary movements. So that took me 8 years, and I actually had some wonderful tutors. Sadly, two of my favourites are now dead long time ago, Charles Harvey and Howard Sasportis, but they've written books and they were absolute giants, world-class thinkers. And really all of my tutors at the faculty were just really five-star. And then since then, I think, when I went on to do my master's course, my tutor there was a wonderful man called Noel Till. He was a kind of 6'5" American, but now almost 80. And I was so blessed to do my master's course with him and study with him. And he revolutionized the way I use astrology, absolutely revolutionized it. So I was just so lucky with all of my teachers. Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. And what were some of the biggest learnings as you were learning astrology? Some of the challenges that you faced as you were learning and growing?
I think almost for me, it was just simply time pressure, because when you're working in kind of very demanding businesses, whether it's, 14, 16 hours a day in advertising, often working at weekends and then running a training business, traveling all over the world, and only I was doing that, it was just, how do I juggle this? How do I fit it all in? So for me, it wasn't so much the subject being challenging. The subject was just infinitely fascinating. It was fitting it into my life on top of an already kind of crazy schedule. What is important to understand is it is very mathematical. And, it's not that you're doing algebra or anything very complex, but you have to be pretty good at ordinary maths and arithmetic, because you've got to just spot when things are missed. Occasionally the computer will miss an aspect, or, something has just happened as though the computer hasn't caught it, but it's actually hugely significant. So by eye, literally just by eye, you've got to be able to calculate in your head and catch things mathematically quite quickly. And if you're an absolute duffer at maths, that would be a big challenge, I think. Yeah.
I can imagine, actually. It's like learning physics, isn't it, in a way? Imagine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So are there any other learnings that you took up on the way, more specifically to the astrology itself as you were learning that?
Yeah, I mean, this amazing subject, this vast subject, because it is so vast, and I know you've just got my book, and that what I tried, one of the many things I tried to demonstrate in my book was the scale of astrology, the breadth and depth of it. But it's taken me into, obviously, depth psychology, taken me principally into Jung. Jung was an astrologer. He drew up charts of his patients. That's why he was able to see into their psyches very quickly. His theory of synchronicity is very much astrologically based. His archetypal theory, very much based on astrology. So a lot of the inspiration for his foundational work came from astrology. So it took me down that pathway. It very much took me down the path of philosophy. It very much, over the last 10, 12 years, has taken me down the path of quantum physics and quantum mechanics, because I'm fascinated by time. Because with astrology, some of it works on linear time, clock time as we understand it very well, but the big bells, the big changes in people's lives, are nothing to do with linear time. They're based on holographic. They're based on the individual unfolding at his or her own pace, which I can measure from the speed of the Earth going round the Sun at the moment of their birth. And I don't want to get too complicated, but everybody's unfoldment happens at a slightly different rate. And it's that kind of holographic measurement of time,
yeah,
which is the big stuff. And if I'm doing readings after a talk, you know, where I've got to do them very fast, somebody gives me birth data and instantly I've got to give them a reading, I'm using the holographic time. I'm not using linear time. So the whole quantum physics thing, you know, and I write quite a lot about that in the book, that's just going to take me down rabbit holes for the rest of my days.
Yeah, no, definitely. We've got a few questions here from the audience, so we'll go through them as we go through your story. So Caroline, first of all, had a question. How would you like to see astrology being used, and in what ways in the future in the world?
Oh, great question. Really great question. I'd love to see it being taught in schools. It's an incredibly practical tool. It's, you know, it's a spiritual tool. It's a practical tool. It's outstanding for things like career planning. You know, who are you really completely uniquely, that, and what gift should you give to the world? You know, it's way better than any career planning I ever had.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it really much more pervasive in the world. You know, if we go back to ancient times, it was part of academic thinking, it was part of religious thinking, it was part of medical thinking. You know, it was unthinkable in the Middle Ages. You couldn't be a doctor unless you understood astrology and the energy balance in people. Yeah. So it was part of science, it was taught in ecclesiastical colleges. So it was kind of everywhere as a natural, holistic understanding of how the world worked. And I really hope, and it's a great question from Caroline, I really hope we're going to go back to that, because it's been at the kind of periphery of society, you know, very much dismissed. And if you're an astrologer, you know, you need therapy, you're absolutely crackers. So I'd like to see it, you know, like with much ridicule over the years, well, stuck to my guns, because it is just so darned useful to give people insight wherever they are in their lives, but particularly, you know, if they're at a crossroads, a stuck place, they're leaving a marriage, it's a really big deal. You just get so much insight that gives you meaning as to why you're going through this tough time.
Definitely. And what I was going to say is we've got a few questions still from the audience, but I'd love to go back to your story a bit more. So we're going to answer those questions at the end, but we're coming towards the end of the show anyway. Well, we're halfway through the show, actually. But I was interested to know, was there a pivotal point in your journey where everything sort of shifted for you and it all came together? And it might even be that mountain moment, you know, in the Himalayas, you know.
Yeah, that was really something. Yeah. That was really something, because when I re-listened to the tape the day I was packing up my flat to leave Toronto forever after 5 years, never having planned to leave it ever when I had the original reading with him. And he talked about that particular date in September. I knew on my route plan to India and the Himalayas, I was going to be on my big trek. You know, I was going for 5 months and I was going to be on my Himalayan trek at that date. And I just got goosebumps all over me. I really did. But Andy, to be honest, it's really been all through my life I've got goosebumps. Yeah, that was a particular high in every sense, but all through my life, you know, not every day, but very regularly, you know, I certainly get goosebumps every time I do a client's chart and see how it's linking up with their life. But, you know, when big things happen, like a marriage breaks up and you absolutely don't want it to, but you look at the chart and you just get so much reassurance that, yes, it's part of your journey to now move on in a different direction. And it's best for your husband, your ex-husband, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's things like that that I think give you enormous inner strength, enormous conviction in living your life. And you start to live strategically. You're not just the rubber hitting the road and life coming at you randomly. You're living from the inside out rather than the outside in, because you've got your sheet of music. You know, you've got your own unique cosmic weather forecast. So, you know, it isn't a surprise when things come in, because you're almost anticipating the opportunities coming up. And therefore, I think you live much more positively and just with so much more confidence, because you think, okay, you know, Jupiter's coming up to my midheaven and that's going to be good news about XYZ. So I think you live much more fully, actually. I mean, I've got so much to thank astrology for. I don't know where my life would have been without it, because it's given me real grit and steel, I think, through many challenges, many challenges in my life, and made sense of them, and made sense of some very, very challenging things in childhood too, which I'm now very grateful for. So,
I mean, I just know from watching your videos, I've just been learning the very, very basics so that I can look at your videos and say, well, this is what's potentially coming up in my life. So just having that knowledge and understanding on a basic level of what might be present in my life at a future time is very insightful. And it's nice to be able to watch experts like yourself to give that insight. But as astrology is such a vast subject and there's so much to learn, was there a time when it all came together as a learning, when you realized that you could just pull together a birth chart quite quickly?
Yeah, and I think if I'm absolutely honest with you and the listeners, if I'm absolutely honest, although I've been involved in the subject a very long time, it was really when I did my master's course, which is now about 8-9 years ago, and everything clicked. It was like one of those, you know, kaleidoscope tubes you had as a kid, and you got the mandala, you got the pattern. That doing that master's course really enabled me to do things much faster, to spot things quickly, to use techniques that were very incisive and insightful. So even though I'd been involved in the subject then for goodness, you know, 30 years plus, which shows what a complex subject it is, it was then that it really clicked. And I just want to go back to what you were saying about, you know, how you're understanding some of the basics. What I really, really, really want to do until I've got the time to teach astrology completely, which is like teaching French cubed. So, you know, it's a huge commitment for me and for the students. What I've tried to do, because the question of what does it mean for me, I have probably been asked 10,000 times, several dozen times a day on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter. People will say, so what does that mean for me? Everybody wants to know that. So what I've done is film, and lots of people know this, a two-part tutorial video series that costs about $10, about £8. It will last for a lifetime, because whatever new moon, wherever Jupiter is, you can look at your birth chart, which you can download for free at several sites online, and start to understand what it means for you very simply. So that's why I made them. And that's why, you know, I'm not making a ton of money from those at all. I'm really trying to empower people, and I'm making them very inexpensive and accessible. So I'm trying more and more and more with that same question over the years to say, please get these, because rather than depending on me all the time, you will actually be empowering and understanding yourself. And doesn't it feel great? Yeah.
I found those tutorials fantastic and phenomenal, and I can, you know, listen back to them and still learn something new at that level. So it's fantastic. Right. So now it comes to the final question of, you've been doing it for such a long time and you've become a master at your art, you could say. And, if I was to ask you why you do what you do today, why does it make a difference to you in your life?
Oh, well, firstly, I love helping. You know, I could talk for an hour just about that. Firstly, I love helping people. I love helping maximize people's potential. I mean, I've done that in my career all my life. So helping people lead a bigger life, turning on light bulbs, helping them really understand who they uniquely are. I just get such a buzz from that. And I get goosebumps every time. And for me, that gives me a tremendous sense of purpose. And that's often what people lack in their lives. You know, they're searching for meaning, they're searching for purpose. I have that in bucket loads, like I do. Yeah. Because it's just so fulfilling. My only pressure is there's only one of me, and I tend to be absolutely overwhelmed with client requests. And I have to be very careful, because the last couple of years I've just kind of worked myself into the ground, and then I'm no use to man or beast. So I'm afraid I'm being much more rigorous about, I'm sorry, I can't take on any more, because I've got to keep my energy high, because that's so important for the clients.
Well, I think it's I love the why you doing what you're doing, because I love to make a difference in people's lives and provide a service to people. But obviously with your YouTube videos, your book, your tutorials, you're serving people at a much higher level than what you would be able to do at a one-to-one anyway, which is fantastic. I think that's incredible. So where can we find out more about yourself and your work?
You can do a kind of quick jump to my website. If you just do pamgregory.com, that will jump you there. But the real website is thenextstep.uk.com. You'll find I upload my latest video every 2 weeks. You'll find my 3,000 word plus newsletter, which I usually put out at the end of each month. And that's much more sort of serious astrology, because I'm tying it in all the time to what's happening in world events. Because I want the proof of the pudding, as I said earlier. I want people to understand how astrology is unfolding in the world and then anticipating what's coming up next time. So if you go to my website, you'll be able to get a lot of information. Because, and I want to kind of link this back to a question you asked earlier, how I want to see astrology in the world. I want astrology to have a much bigger voice in the world's proper serious astrology, not sun sign rubbish. If it was as easy as sun sign, it wouldn't have taken me 40 years to learn it. It's just not that simple. Yeah. So, I want it to be properly understood, and I want to be a mini ambassador to restate it. And, kind of put it back on the world stage to be appreciated. And if it means I have to minimize the client side, I will do that, because as you say, that's just one-on-one, and I want it to reach more people. So I think that's a really, really important part of what I do, because essentially I'm a communicator more than anything.
Definitely. And thank you first of all for being on the show, sharing your story and sharing your wisdom at the same time. We did cut the story slightly short today, because we thought it would be a good opportunity for you to possibly share some insights as to what could be coming up for the next month, January, or even possibly the next year. And I know we haven't got a huge amount of time, so feel free to squeeze in what you can. So.
Okay, well, wave at me to shut up, because otherwise, as you know, I can go on forever. It's going to be a different kind of year this year, because we have almost no planets in fixed signs, because Saturn, for instance, has moved out of Scorpio. And what fixity does is slow things down. So we're not going to have much slowing down going into 2016. There's a lot of what is called mutability, and that's kind of chameleon-like. It's fluid. A lot of planets in mutable signs, which are, well, principally Virgo, Pisces. We've got planets there, but also Gemini and Sagittarius. But Virgo and Pisces are particularly highlighted this year. So, but in general, the energy will feel fast-moving. You have to be fast on your feet. You'll have to be flexible and adaptable. So for people who tend to make their mind and stick to it, even they may have to be a little more adaptable this year. It also means that things can change very quickly. People can make big jumps in progress. Opportunities can come out of the blue very fast. And particularly if you have anything round about kind of 17 to 23 degrees of the mutable signs, and again, Virgo and Pisces highlighted even more with that, because that's where the eclipses are going to be. That's where Jupiter currently is at the moment. That's where Chiron is at the moment. So we're going to see some very big opportunities and a lot of growth coming in for people who have planets or angles around those areas. Jupiter is stationary today. It's at 23 degrees of Virgo. It's very close to the North Node, which is our collective destiny, where we're evolving to as a human race, if you like. And when Jupiter comes together with that, it gives all of us a sense of confidence. We want to go for it. But particularly for that aspect, something specific in your birth chart, you want to go for even more. And this weekend, with the new moon in Capricorn, we have Mercury in a very positive aspect to Jupiter in the North Node too, so that can give us a sense of inspiration. You want to leap towards that new vision. And the new vision, for many people, will be about giving spiritual service in some way. So people will want to move from just making a living to making a difference. A lot of people are going to want to get on their true path and really live who they really are with their unique gifts being of service to other people. So I think we're going to see a lot of shifts in work because Saturn in Sagittarius is very much about living the authentic path too. So, and what will also help this sense of confidence and going for it is Mars has just moved into Scorpio. Mars used to be the ruler of Scorpio, so it has laser beam focus. Yeah. It decides on a goal and is absolutely ruthless in getting to it. So that also helps this sense of, you know, I'm really going to be committed to something and go for it. Helps this confidence. So for many of us, we'll feel quite a big shift in that direction. And for many people also, there will be big healings, big energy shifts and healings. That is because Chiron in Pisces is going to be aspecting Jupiter for quite a bit of this year, so it expands the healing principle. Jupiter is in, and the North Node is in Virgo, they're both in Virgo, which is all about health, healing, energy healing, alternative healing, going back to the earth, ancient wisdom, plant remedies, all of that. So those two ends of the spectrum, the Chiron in Pisces opposing Jupiter and the North Node in Virgo, I think are going to bring revolutions in health and healing. And it could be ancient stuff that you're shedding, you know, ancestral stuff that you're leaving behind. And I've just had a major one of those myself over the last couple of weeks, you know, really quite a miracle for my health. So, you know, I'm caught up in all this too. So I think the healing thing will be very strong. And any practitioner of healing, energy healing, is going to come to the forefront in a very big way. Yeah. Cleaning up the earth is part of that. Cleaning up the oceans. The whole pollution thing is going to be, you know, it's very interesting at the climate talks in Paris that they actually all agreed to do something about the climate. And I think that's becoming really urgent. So that will be quite a driver as well. Saturn Neptune square, I don't know if I've got any more time, but that's going to become the dominant aspect through this year. And there's a lot to say about that. But if I've run out of time, you know, the newsletter.
And that's perfect. I must say I've been shedding a lot myself and feeling a lot of different energy shifts throughout. I know, Christmas Day and that was a new moon and a lot of shifts and changing happening. And I know people were feeling intense energy during that time as well, weren't they?
So. Yeah, because Uranus was stationary on Christmas Day and Boxing Day. So, you know, you can't get much more intensity than that. And it was a full moon in Cancer. So, you know, it was full on emotionally. Yeah.
And I don't know what I was just about to say, actually. So we'll go to some questions from the audience, because we have a few questions. What I will say, those of you who actually want to join the Blab, there is an open seat available, so you can jump in and ask your questions specifically to Pam herself. And we have a guest already jumping in. So,
hello.
Hi.
Hi, thanks for joining.
You're welcome. Thank you. How are you?
Very good. How are you yourself?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I'm in the Netherlands. Seems you are both in the UK or nearby. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. I probably missed a bit. I'm not sure how long you've been on, but I've only seen about 15 minutes now, I think.
Okay. Yeah, we'll be on for half an hour.
Okay. So apologies if I asked something that's already been explained. That's good. I was hoping to ask two questions I'm interested in. Pam said earlier something about the real astrology having a bigger place in the world. So I was wondering if there are kinds of astrology that are not accurate or real. Sorry, come again?
Sun sign. Because you have up to 3,000 variables in any birth chart. But all people in the Western world tend to know is their sun sign.
Oh, okay, okay. So how, my question then would be, how do you recognize which ones are accurate and correct and which ones aren't? Like, how can you tell the difference in the results, I guess?
Gosh, that's quite a complex question. I think you really have to have your chart read by a very good experienced astrologer. And then you in your life have to be the judge of whether that's unfolding correctly for you or not. So it's kind of taste it and see. Ideally, you need to go to an astrologer who's recommended to you rather than just finding someone on the internet, because it takes a very long time to learn. So there are very variable standards in astrologers, as, you know, with any therapist out there. So I think it's really a question of getting someone recommended to you that you've heard is very, very helpful and going with them.
Okay, and so that would be like word of mouth?
Word of mouth, or very often in countries, I don't know how it is in the Netherlands. I mean, in the UK, we have a professional association of astrologers. There's a list with addresses and phone numbers and emails. So you can look at that list and choose an astrologer from there who you know will be very highly qualified.
Okay. It's a little bit of a different direction than what I was thinking, but thank you anyway. I was thinking how would you, let's say I'd get two different readings and one of them is a good one, another one is not so good. How can I tell the difference? What are noticeable differences?
You'd know, because any good astrologer would be talking about your natal chart, the way your character has developed over the years, you know, your relationship with your parents, that sort of thing. And only you will know whether that resonates correctly for you or not. They won't just be looking at the future. They'll also be looking at you as a developing individual.
Okay. So the reading might be able to tell you something about your actual life, your history, your past.
And you know, in any full consultation, I will ask the client maybe 30, 40 questions with very specific dates. You know, did your grandparent die when you were 3? Was a sibling born when you were 6 and a half on this date who was very unwell and you were then neglected by your parents for a period of time? Did you emigrate when you were 7? Did your father leave the family home when you were 8 and a half? You know, and I will give specific dates. Now, if the birth time is correct, all of those things will work like clockwork. If the birth time is wrong, all of those things will have happened, but on a different date. And that will then help me rectify the correct birth time, and then everything will work like clockwork. So you have to go into the past to validate the birth time to go forwards into the future.
Okay. I really don't know all that much about it. So when you say birth time, I'm literally thinking of date of birth. Is that what you mean?
Time as well. Date, time, and
okay.
Place.
Sure.
Incredibly important, and everybody says, why is time so important? Because the earth spins, and the earth never stops spinning. So your moment of incarnation, when the life force enters the body at a particular geography at a particular moment, gives you your unique sheet of music. And if the birth time is wrong, all the information is wrong.
Okay, so but I thought you get the birth time at the beginning.
And people will tell me whether they believe it's accurate or not. So if it's accurate, I still check it. But if people say it's within an hour or so before I start all the work on the chart, I will ask them a series of questions about the past.
Oh, okay.
If they have no idea when they were born, I won't do the chart. I just won't do it, because there's so many possibilities, it will be almost impossible to get it right for them. So I'm wasting my time and they're wasting their money, so I won't do it.
Okay. So for you, the questions that follow, and you gave examples, are a way to check if the birth time that they gave is correct.
Yes.
And if it's off by, let's say, half an hour, then a lot of those questions will be answered with no. And when
what they will say is that event happened, but not at that time. So I will get a coherent list, a consistent list of all of those things happened, but they all happened 6 months later. Then I know that person's born 10 minutes later than they said. And then it works like clockwork.
Okay. So does that mean that it's all basically predetermined?
No, as I was saying earlier, and you probably missed this.
That might be, yeah.
Okay, your pattern is set like a sheet of music. How you play that sheet of music is down to you. Do you have a little life? Do you have a big life? Do you really go for it with confidence, or do you pull back when opportunities come up? That's down to you. That's down to your free will. I won't know when I see a client or speak to a client on Skype how big a life they've had. And it's only in discussion with them that I see how that's manifesting. But I will know the music has to play. You know, if they've got Beethoven's Ninth as a birth chart, they will not be playing Pachelbel's Canon in their life. You have to play the music of your birth chart. It's undeniable. It never happens any differently. It's just how magnificently you play the music. That's your choice.
What I was going to say is we've got 5 minutes left of the recorded show. We have Phoenix that's joined us. Thanks for joining us. No, what questions did you have today?
Nothing. I was just really interested in Pam. I'm an astrologer also, and I was really interested in you mentioning your questions that you asked, because I don't know if you saw that I had put right before you answered that if you couldn't get the birth time, it was just it's impossible to do their chart. And I've had a lot of people, you know, come up to me and ask me, well, why can't you do my birth chart? Astrology, okay, well, it don't exist if you can't do it just because you don't know my time. And a lot of them seem to think that we're psychics. Just because we can do astrology, we're psychics. Well, if you can do that, then you should be able to know my birth time. You should be able to figure out my birth time by everything else I'm telling you. And it was interesting when you started talking about the questions that you asked, because I have never heard of that. And I was like, well, that's really interesting. And I wanted to know how you came up with those questions, how you decided to start doing that.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I only ask the questions to validate the birth time if they're not completely sure. You know, I ask the questions anyway, but I have to make sure the birth time is correct before I start the big work on it.
Right.
So if someone says, you know, I think it was between 3 and 5 in the afternoon, the only thing that moves really fast is the moon to some extent, as you know, but the planets don't move much in 2 hours. It's the angles, the axes of the chart, the vertical and horizontal axis move really fast. They move a degree for every 4 minutes of time on the clock, roughly. Changes by season, but that's what you're looking at. So you need to pin down, as you know, the angles, the axes.
Right.
And so all of my questions are focused around solar arcs and transits to those angles. I ignore the rest of the planets. I'm not interested in planet-to-planet transits. I'm just looking at solar arcs and transits to those axes. And so they are, I mean, the solar arcs particularly are brilliant because they're so fast to see
exactly.
My eye. And then I can often very fast pin down, you know, okay, it was, you know, 4:10 in the afternoon. If they have no idea, then you just don't have a starting point. You could spend days kind of trying. If you know someone really well, you can start to see, yeah, she's got a Gemini ascendant, or, you know, that you can start to watch her characteristics. But if you don't know someone, if it's a new client, I always just say, I'm sorry, I can't help you, because it's going to take me such a long time to even get a start point.
Right, because a lot of people don't understand that, you know, it does, even if we have the birthday, it takes a while to do the chart to begin with.
It does.
And,
it does.
You know, when we don't have the correct birth date or you know, even the birth date, you know, there's just no way heavenly possible for us to be able to pinpoint it and tell them, okay, well, this is your chart and this is what your life's going to be if you decide, you know, to go this route or, you know, because a lot of psychics will use astrology in their and say, well, this is what your future's going to be. And I hate to say that they use it because you can't always tell your future by the astrology chart.
Absolutely, and that's what I was saying earlier, really, you know, you never know the specifics of the story. You only know the symbolism that will unfold at the time in that area of life. And, you know, but within that, I'm a stickler for precision. I'm a stickler for precision on timing, quality of experience that's unfolding, area of life. And so that's why the correct birth time is vital. Otherwise, you're just kind of giving irrelevant and wrong information, which credits the whole subject. And I just won't do it. You know, I want to keep the bar high on what we do because, you know, as you were saying, astrology can be used in all kinds of different ways. And, you know, I'm so blessed to have had some brilliant teachers. And so I want to put that back in the world to honor the subject.
Right. Cause it can really be interesting if you know, so CJ, you know, if you were to, you know, even start learning about it or, you know, look it up and start reading, it's really interesting to learn about it and to read about it. And, you know, I've been 18 years, I think now I've been studying and doing it. And my husband is the one who got me interested because we were going through old papers and I found a birth chart that he had. And I was like, what's this? And he told me, and that's just how I got into it. And it's really interesting. But no, I just wanted to come on and ask her, you know, I found that really interesting when she said that. And I just wanted to come on and ask her about it.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
Well, I think I was just going to say that this is coming to the end of the actual recorded show. So I would like to say thank you all for tuning in. We're live every week. The Entrepreneur's Journey is all about sharing stories and the journey of an entrepreneur. Very much coaches, therapists, consultants, people very much in the spiritual world, people who's at service and wanting to make a difference. So we're live every week at 8 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Tune in live again next week. Next week we're talking about soul contracts. What does that mean, and how it plays a part in your life as well.
The Entrepreneur's Journey. Create your empowering business story. Interviewing successful entrepreneurs from around the world to share their inspiring journey to success. Tune in live every week for your weekly dose of inspiration. Visit www.theentrepreneursjourney.tv for previous episodes.